Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday of Lent. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey as we prepare for this rather lengthy gospel. A lot to discuss this morning.
Yes, more to meditate upon, to look at how the gospel enters into our life so beautifully. So I want to begin, before I read the gospel from St. John's Gospel, the antiphon for this Sunday, which is, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her. Be joyful, all who were mourning. Exult and be satisfied at her consoling breasts." So this is Lectare Sunday, as we have an Advent Gaudete. So it's a time in the middle of our preparation for the beautiful feast of Easter to pause in the midst of our conversion process, but to rejoice, to be happy, to know that what we are doing in our Lenten fasting is also a time to rejoice because of the approaching feast of Easter, the great presence of the Lord after the resurrection. So we spend this day in rejoicing at the Lord's presence in our midst. So the fourth Sunday of Lent's Gospel, this A cycle, is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said it is, but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledges him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He said to them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are now trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking to you is he." Jesus said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." Quite an interesting day in Jerusalem.
So much to reflect upon and so many images, of course, focusing on, ironically saying the word focusing on the gift of sight and those that are able to see and those who are impaired, whether they are visually or spiritually impaired. Jesus is covering all the bases, so to speak, in this gospel. Bishop, what is your reflection on this? How do you approach this?
This is the first Sunday, the A cycle, I should say, of the readings for Lent, and this is also very much directed toward those in a process of conversion, those mm-hmm. who are in the RCIA,
right,
and preparing for the Easter sacraments to be baptized, and for all of us to renew on Easter Sunday, through the profession of faith, our baptismal call. You know, and I'll say this kind of, I'm one that tries to take the liturgy very seriously. So when the bishop, the priest, the bishop, deacons come down to do the sprinkling rite on Easter Sunday, you see all the faces like rolling their eyes or, "Oh my gosh," and, here, "Get me, give me more." It's a very serious moment. It's not a plaything.
Right.
Because it is, the baptismal waters are meant for all of us in every day and every season. So it's a renewal for us. And for that reason, the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent during the A cycle are oriented toward this life in Christ and this conversion. So we go back to last Sunday. The third Sunday, we had Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And I love the word that St. John uses, he passed by.
Mm-hmm.
I think I spoke about that last week. Here again, Jesus passes by. He passed by a woman who had no faith, who was an outcast
mm-hmm.
From the society, and he was not supposed to be talking to her. Today, he passes by a blind man, another outcast, because as the question was, who sinned? He must be a sinner if he's blind. Ergo, he's blind. So, but Jesus stops with these people. And next week, we'll hear the story of the raising of Lazarus, his good friend. who's the brother of Martha and Mary. And it's interesting in these three Sundays what he says of himself, Jesus. To the woman, as he speaks about the water, he says, I am the living water. Today, with the blind man, I am the light of the world. And next week we will hear, I don't know if I should give it away, but mm-hmm. I think everybody knows, I am the resurrection and the life. Those three proclamations of Jesus are to be taken very seriously every day of our life. I am the living water. So in our own life today, what is it that's dry? Is our faith dry? How do we enliven it? We go to the living water, the Word of God, the gospel. Are we at a point in our life where we can't see a spiritual blindness or perhaps a mental blindness or others? So he is the light of the world. It's even those who are physically blind have a better sight and insight, I should say, into the truths of God than sometimes we who do physically see and yet cannot see. And that's what Jesus says at the end of the gospel to the Pharisees, who heard this, and they said, surely we're not also blind, are we? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. Because you can see, even as a blind, I've had friends who were physically blind. My own great-grandfather was blind. But there was a depth of person in each one of them, a depth of faith. But then he says to him, but now you are saying, we see, and so your sin remains. You see what you don't want to see. You see what you want to see, but not what you should be seeing.
Right, not focusing on the right things.
Right. So, you know, again, kind of going back, if we're thirsty, I am the living water. If we don't see, we're in a moment of darkness. I am the light of the world. And then we'll follow up next Sunday with the words, I am the resurrection and the life. In the we're about to end this first segment, but in the second segment, I want to use this gospel as kind of a calling to prayer, because basically it was Jesus who passed by the man, and the man then responded to him by prayer, by his own responding to Jesus. So I want to speak of the value of prayer and what is prayer in our life.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
Catholic Charity's third annual 40 Cans for Lent food drive is underway through Easter. All donations benefit the local and rural food pantries of Catholic Charities and Mother Teresa Shelter. Needed items include non-perishables such as canned meats, peanut butter, rice, beans, pasta, canned fruits and vegetables, and canned or powdered milk. Donors are encouraged to contribute healthy alternatives such as low-fat, low-sugar, low-sodium, and diabetic-friendly items. Monetary donations are, of course, always welcome. If your family, parish, school, or business would like to take part, bins can be picked up at the Catholic Charities office, 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi. To arrange for a pickup, call 361-884-0651. Learn more at catholiccharities-cc.org.
Our Shepherd's View continues right here. I'm Jesse DeLeon with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fourth Sunday of Lent, talking about blindness in this gospel. And Bishop was reflecting on that before the break. He continues now to share his reflection on this gospel.
Well, this week, when I think it was Thursday, the gospel was Jesus saying that I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. This is something I think we should always keep in mind. You know, we're always saying, "Well, one way is as good as the other, et cetera, et cetera." But unless it's Jesus at the center, it's not as one as good as the other, because we can't compare anything against Jesus. He is the fullness of life, the fullness of truth, the fullness of beauty. And so as we're in our conversion a season of walking toward the Easter sacraments, we have to realize over and over, he is the light of the world, he is the living water for us, and he is the resurrection and eternal life for us. So how do we respond to that? We see in the gospel the blind man came to an understanding and a faith and became a follower of Jesus, as well as the beautiful gospel of last Sunday with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. She became like an evangelizer. She went and told all of her friends. Mm-hmm. It's funny with the, she had a great response. The blind man with the Pharisees and others who were right around him kind of did not get as much welcome as the other lady did.
Right.
But it focuses on the person, the Samaritan woman and the blind man and their response to Jesus. And on that same day, Thursday, it's in thinking of that, you know, I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. There's an ancient writing, but it comes from the priest Tertullian, which I'm sure is a household name that everybody is very, very familiar with. But he had a beautiful writing on prayer. And it was kind of the old thing, you know, when you look at prayer in the Old Testament and other places, it was praying God to come to destroy these people or asking God to take away this or to do this and kind of almost commanding God to do what we want it to do, want them to do. But Tertullian kind of reviews all of that. Mm-hmm. But with Jesus, prayer becomes something much different because Jesus also prayed. And in his prayer, he never asked for anything to be destroyed. He asked for the will of God. He asked for beauty. He asked for healing. He asked for so many things to his Father. So I think I just wanted to reflect a little bit in the second segment on that particular writing of Tertullian and about prayer. And kind of halfway through, he says, prayer is the one thing that can conquer God. I just think we could stop there and talk about that for a long time.
Right.
You know, we sometimes debate with God. You know, God is love, so we debate with love.
Mm-hmm.
Or we get angry with love, or we. But if we thought the power of prayer is the one thing that can conquer God. You want God's attention? Pray. If you want God to hear, pray. Don't yell at him. Give him the worship and the prayer that he so deserves, and that will conquer his heart. Because mm-hmm. he sees a child who is in prayer reaching out. And we think of Jesus in his own prayer life, which we can certainly focus in on in the Gospels, where Jesus went away to be with his Father. And I'm sure he wasn't yelling at him. You think about all that Jesus had to put up with and what was facing him. He didn't go off in the garden in the night to pray and scream at God, or he may have shed tears. Yes, it was hurt. It was difficult. But he conquered God's heart. The Father's heart. So he goes on, this Tertullian goes on, but Christ has willed that it should work no evil, that prayer doesn't work evil, that it has power over good. So prayer has a power that is good, that is over all good. So prayer brings out the good. You know, sometimes if you prayed and you go in kind of confused, angry, all of a sudden in that moment of quiet, if we're really praying, I'm not meaning just saying prayers, but if we really are lifting up our heart to God in prayer, somehow whatever it's concerning me is resolved. It doesn't go away, but I see a way that prayer conquers the good and brings out the good in all of our lives. And he continues, but Christ has willed that it, prayer, should work no evil, and has given it all power over good. Its all art is to call back the souls of the dead from the very journey into death, to give strength to the weak, to heal the sick, to exorcise the possessed, to open prison cells, to free the innocent from their chains. Prayer has that kind of a power. If we are into the journey of death, in other words, we're heading down a path that we should not, and we don't want to, and it certainly doesn't make us happy, or we're, you know, the power. And we're not talking about just a physical death, although it means that too.
Mm-hmm.
But the deaths of our life where we head down the wrong way, the evil, it has the power to pull us out of that. Prayer does. It can give us strength when we're weak. You know, they say there's no atheists in foxholes. People cry out because right. they're weak. They need God. We all need God. We want God. And prayer gives us that. It heals the sick. You know, healing of a sick person is not just the physical healing, but it's also the spiritual and perhaps even the mental healing that can calm someone down. I love the one of opening the prison cells. I do a lot of visiting at the prisons. In fact, I'll be going on Holy Thursday to Beeville, to the prison there. Mm-hmm. But prayer just opens their cells, you know, the cell that confines us. So it's not just the physical cell, again, of a prison, but it's the cells of the prisons of our own life that we can create. Prayer breaks through those, that we're free. So the power of prayer is something that, especially during this time of conversion leading up to Easter, to look at ourselves and where do I pray? I mean, I can say prayers, and I say to all those that say a million prayers all day long. Maybe it could be prayer, but maybe look at another way to pray quietly without words.
A heartfelt prayer.
Heartfelt, to be in God's presence. Mm-hmm. I love the image, and I use it daily, is look into God's eyes. That's prayer. Let God look into your eyes. That's prayer. To be there with you. So that's the prayer that we're looking at here. And I'd like to kind of come to a conclusion on this. At the end of this expose, you might say, of prayer by Tertullian, he says this. He said, all angels pray, because what is an angel but one that worships God? So it's always, it prays always. Every creature prays. I love this. This might shock some people.
Uh-huh.
But I think, you know, that when you think of creation and the power of, and one of the things of this gospel for this Sunday of the blind man, Jesus uses spittle and dirt, which, and then applies it to the man's eyes, and he can see. Many of the scholars throughout the centuries have said that God uses creation that he's created to heal. And so when you hear this that I'm about to read, just open your minds to God has power and love over all creation. It says, every creature prays. Cattle and wild beasts pray and bend their knees. I was thinking of that when I was reading it the other day, of a cow, you know, kneeling in the pasture,
field, yeah.
Getting up and getting down.
Right,
it's
right.
A kneeling position.
Right.
As they come from their barns and caves, they look out to heaven and they call out the baying or whatever of a cow, lifting up their spirits in their own fashion. Like if you looked at it as a prayer, a calling out to God of a creature that he has created, because all that God created is good. This one I love. The birds, too, rise and lift themselves up to heaven. They open out their wings instead of their hands in the form of a cross and give voice to what it seems to be a prayer. What more need be said on the duty of prayer? Even the Lord himself prayed. To him be honor and power forever and ever. Amen. Prayer is something so much greater than what we may be classified as or use as prayer.
We may be limited in how we see it and how we don't understand the full power, like you're saying, that it has that ability to heal. It's our connection to God. I think a lot of times, too, sometimes when I feel overwhelmed or maybe just a little bit distracted, I'll say, Lord, take off what isn't yours.
Yeah.
And a simple prayer like that leads me to some clarity to say, I can move forward now, because that moment that you feel like it's a little much, and prayer does offer us that clarity as well.
Yeah. And I think added to that, if you go like the book of Genesis, which we will read as the first reading on the vigil or Easter on Saturday night, the first one is the creation and God's creation. It would be nice even in this Lenten time still to go back and reread the story of creation and to think God's love is embedded in every creature, that we maybe be so, as you said, be focused so much on our own problems we miss the beauty that's right there in front of it. But I'm going to read this last one just as a kind of a a way to end, but also to think this would be a beautiful focus for us for the next few weeks when we see a bird fly. Mm-hmm. I was looking out my window this morning, and there were three white cranes, or white bird, I think what you call them. But beautiful, mm-hmm. pure white. Birds, too, rise and lift themselves up to heaven. They open out their wings instead of their hands in the form of a cross and give voice to what seems to be a prayer. Maybe even that sight, if we're in a difficult moment this week or any time, is just to look out at creation and to see the beauty of a bird flying with his arms, with his wings stretched out in the form of a cross. His body is in the form of a cross. Mm-hmm. And to say that that is my prayer. I send it up to you, Father, with that bird in the sign of a cross is my prayer.
And that is our Shepherd's View for this fourth Sunday of Lent. We thank you for listening. And Bishop Michael Mulvey, if you would please end with another prayer or a few remarks as we conclude today.
We use the prayer of the day. O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org.
To hear or download other programs featured Sunday mornings on this radio station, visit klux.org.
It's another really big one, and it may just be the answer to your spring cleaning problems. It's the Corpus Christi Cathedral's annual spring rummage sale, set for Thursday through Sunday, April 27th through 30th. It runs from 4 till 7 the first day for the early birds, and then 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday. Where? Yes, its new location is Central Catholic Cafeteria, 1218 Comanche Street, and it'll be overflowing with quality furniture, housewares, appliances, toys, sporting goods, hardware, and more, and all at great bargain prices. Proceeds from the sale will benefit the Cathedral Parish. Donated items should be clean, sanitized, and in resaleable condition. To donate those items or receive answers to your questions, call Donald Harris at Corpus Christi Cathedral, 361-883-4213.